Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about the heart, and remember, the heart encompasses everything. Your soul, your spirit, your attitude, your thoughts, all of it. Your heart. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He wants all of your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. So, when our heart is in its right place, then we can fulfill His will by loving people. See, you can't say you love God and you don't love people. You got to love people. Even the mean ones. Even them bosses that are cantankerous and meaner than snakes. You have to love them. That's what happens when you put God first. He gives you a love and a grace and mercy for people like He has for you. See, we're following Jesus, right? So that's the way we're supposed to be towards people. And when we're that way towards people, we're free. We're free to be who God created you to be. It's all about that love of God. Now, so our heart is the control center. So last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, remember, He's our helper. He's our helper. And also, it says in John 14 that He's our helper. And the word helper is the word parakletos, is the Greek word, parakletos. And the American word for that is paraclete. So He's our paraclete. Remember I told you I worked for Miles Laboratories for 22 years before I went into the ministry full time. And I was a chemical operator and a lab technician, and I did a lot of lab work. And so the idea is we were a biotechnology plant. And so bio means life, and so we were growing something alive in the lab there. And it was a germ called Aspergillus niger. And so we would grow that germ, and we would monitor it. We would keep it sterilized, clean. I mean, it was just amazing. You think things are sterile now. You had to keep, wherever that germ was, you had to keep it from being contaminated. So we would get these shipments of these different ingredients that needed to go in the process, because it started in a test tube, and then it would go from a test tube, from a petri tree to a test tube and into a 5-gallon carboy. And from a 5-gallon carboy, it was grown on ground up corn cobs, a mold. It was alive and all furry. And then you would take that and inoculate that into an 88,000-gallon fermenter with like 20 to 40,000 gallons of deionized water. And it would be alive, and there would be air bubbling the water, and you had to monitor that. And for 14 days, it was alive. Well, while it was alive, you had to add vitamin C, zinc, copper, iron. You had to add all these ingredients, potassium, sulfites. You had to add all these different ingredients into the process. But now those ingredients had to be pure in order for the process to not be contaminated. Because if a contaminant got into the process, now it affects your production, the value of the thing. You see that? It affects the value of it. So, why are you telling me all this? Paraclete. In the warehouse, you would go down and they had this apparatus called paraclete. And they would use it to lift 1,000, 2,000, 3,000-pound skids out of these containers so you could get a sample and go to the lab and run tests on it to make sure it was pure for the process. See, the paraclete lifted the weight of what was coming in so the process would not be contaminated. You and I are going to need a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to lift some things in our life that we can't handle, we can't carry, because there's things that are trying to contaminate our lives in the process of growing and doing His will. Are you catching this? And so that's why we need this paraclete. We have to depend on the paraclete. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you. He wants to navigate. He wants to help you navigate your life. And when you are in touch with the Holy Spirit, you can talk to Him, and He will begin to help you. He's also called the Comforter. He's the Comforter, the Advocate, the Advocate. So we really need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. And we'll have a lot less frustration in our life when we are in touch with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I've been praying, seeking God, and He's showing me this is what I need to talk about. We need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit because we're in other times. But we don't have to be miserable. We don't have to be upset. We don't have to be frustrated and discouraged. We should be happy. It should show all over our face because you are His witnesses. Wherever you are, you're to be a witness for Him. On your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, wherever you're to be His witness. And you're to reflect Christ wherever you go. So now, let's go to our vision. And we're going to look at this. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Your heart is being tested daily, every day. Every day. Why? Because your heart, left unattended, is desperately wicked. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful. Your heart will deceive you. You have to give it constant attention. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I test the heart. He's testing your heart continuously. Now, anybody ever take a test and fail it? Sometimes you get to take it over. So, we're going to talk about believing and connecting with the Holy Spirit today. Okay? Now, Jesus is praying. He says, and I will pray. Now, some of your translation says ask. Ask. So, it's pray or ask. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. So Jesus was referring to another helper because He was their help at the time. At that time. He helped them feed 5,000. He helped them on their journey. So now look, He said, I'm praying that you have another helper. This is theologians say and think that this is like 12 to 18 hours before Jesus was put on the cross. And so he's helping us to understand what's most important. I've been with people who are dying. They talk about what's most important to them. Jesus was letting us know, this is important. I want you to understand this. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm giving you another helper. Remember the word helper is paraclete, paracletos. But it's also comforter, advocate. So he's the helper, the comforter, our advocate, truth, and our guide. He's all those, the Holy Spirit in us. Now, see, this is what's going on. Jesus is bringing on something new, and the religious folks are resisting it. Anytime something new takes place, we have this propensity to resist. And so, we're in that time period now. We're being challenged in areas of our life we haven't been challenged with. The Holy Spirit has an answer for you. He wants to help you. You see? He says, I'm going to give you another helper. So, one of his names is, some of yours says in that verse, Comforter. Remember I've told you about my, I had a mean grandmother? Anybody have a mean grandmother growing up? I mean, she did her best, but she was just mean. And, you know, she was bitter. You know, things in her life, just negative all the time. And always criticizing, and boy, you wanted to get out of there as fast as you could. And when she came over, you wanted to, her to leave as fast as you could. I mean, that's just sad, but that's the way it was. You know what I mean? Never hugged you. Never even seen her hug her own daughter, my mom. She's mean. See, that's what happens. People get hurt in life, and they never deal with it. So they become curmudgeoned, mean-spirited, and bitter. Don't ever let that happen to you. Well, anyways, I was there, staying all night. I was probably 7 or 8. And everything in that house, perfect. You walk in that house, you think, man, there's nothing wrong with these people. I mean, everything. No dust? Never. Go up in the attic, boxes lined off, everything labeled. Everything. Well, I need to know where. Oh, go right to it. Everything. Open up her closets, every shoe, every piece of clothing, color-coded. All the hangers going the same way. How do you know? I looked at all that stuff. I got in her drawers, everything was. I mean, it was always that way. So I'm staying all night. I had my own room. I'm in the room, getting ready to go to bed. But you know, I'm a kid. I'm jumping on the bed. Freddie, what are you doing? Get off my comforter. Get off my comforter now! My sisters might be watching. They remember this kind of stuff. You get off that comforter now. I said, Grandma, I don't even have my shoes on. What's wrong? Get off my comforter now. I got off of it, and she took it off. She says, that's not to be used. I thought, well, what's it there for? I mean, this is the way you think. Sometimes even kids think logical. She says, that's for looks. Are you getting it? Sometimes that's the way the church is. We have a Holy Spirit, and it's for looks only. It's not being used. God wants you to tap into the Holy Spirit. He wants you to connect and use it on a daily basis. The other day I was going to the gym and I couldn't find my pass. You know, you have to have a pass to get in. And I was thinking, where is it? I couldn't find it. I stopped. I bowed my head. I said, Holy Spirit, where did I leave that? Walked right into my room. Got a little dresser by my room and a little drawer in there. I never keep it in there. I put it in there the other day. Got it out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the way He wants us to be. Dependent on Him. See this? I always kept it in the side of the door on my car, in my car, or on top of the refrigerator. wasn't there. But he reminded me right away where it was. If I wouldn't have asked him, I may not have went to the gym that day. So now, think about this. Another helper, comforter, advocate, that he may abide with you where? Forever. He's in you forever. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And those three are working together to help you fulfill His will here on earth. That's the reason you're here. Stay with me. The Spirit of Truth. There it is. He's the truth. I hear people say, I'm in a rough patch right now. I'm just trying to find myself. I'm just trying to find myself. Have you heard that? He'll show you who you are. You can find yourself right away with Him. And you don't even have to look in the mirror with your naked self. Some of you got that. I'm telling you. You know who you are, and you know what you are, and you know where you're called to go. Am I making sense? The Holy Spirit will let you know that. Huh? He will make it plain. That's why He's there. For the truth in you. To help you. To remove the anxiety. To remove the clouded, obfuscated places in life so you can see and have direction in life and vision. The Holy Spirit helps you with that. Now watch this. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him. Remember, you need to be born again to see the kingdom. If you're not born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can't see the kingdom. Remember, what's the word see mean? It means to show. It means to understand. This word see. Now you have to get the Greek out because this is what the Greek meaning is. To show, to see. It means theater. God's got a movie on your life. He wants to show you. And you're the star of the movie. Are you with me? You're the only star in that movie. God has a movie on your life. He wants to show you who you are and how to live this life. Am I making sense? That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy. Holy means set apart. Set apart for what? Set apart. For God. God wants you to set apart so you can do His will. When you're doing your will, you're confused, you're frustrated and disappointed and always looking for something. But when you're in His will, you're fulfilled. This is important. The Holy Spirit. I'm trying to help you see something. Now look, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Give me the next one. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will what? Everybody say that. He will what? Teach. He will teach you. See, people go to church, get saved, and they never talk to the Holy Spirit. They never get in touch with the Holy Spirit. He says He will teach you what? Some things. All things. He's your teacher. Here's the problem. Some people aren't teachable. When you're not teachable, you always have this undercurrent in resisting the Holy Spirit in you. He's trying to show you something about your life. He wants you to make a choice to go His way. You see that? I watched John Lewis's funeral the other day, and one of his quotes were, "We have to find a way to get in the way." I like that. You got to find a way to get in the way. Jesus is the way. And that's what he was talking about. John Lewis was a man of God and had a big influence on people. He was beaten back in the 60s and forgave everyone. He had an anointing on him. He left a legacy. We need more of those folks up there in the White House. Are you with me? This is huge. Now look at this. "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." Let, that little word let, that's your job. That's your job. That's not God's job. Your job. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's you. You need to be so in touch with the Holy Spirit that you don't let your heart be troubled. If your heart's troubled, you need a good talk with the Holy Spirit. Get in touch with Him, because He's going to show you some areas in your life that maybe you need to make some choices and change. You glad you came to church today? Amen. He wants to show you. He wants to show you the movie, that you're the star in that movie. Are you with me? Of your life. Your name is written in heaven when you become a child of God. And he's got your name in a book, and he's got a video on your life. You catching this? Neither let it be afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. You got God in you. You know, I have people come in here, and they'll tell me about, you know, we have CR, and we have people that, you know, they get on drugs, heroin, crack, alcohol, all these different addictions. You know, it just runs in my family. I can't. You know, you don't understand. If you only understood, well, I got some stuff to tell you about my family. I can tell you that I was raised in schizophrenia, and I had a mean grandmother. And I was alone by myself all the time. I can talk about dysfunction. I can really talk about dysfunction. That foot. But when the Holy Spirit came in, changed the way I saw things. A janitor brought the gospel to me where I worked at Miles Laboratories, and I was hiding from him. I did. I was hiding from him. He always talked to me, but I felt convicted. Amen. And so he came in. I could see through the windows, and whistling, just happy all the time. He worked a full-time job and come in a second job and happy, working two jobs. I was working one, miserable as a goose in a hailstorm. And he's happy. And so I watched, and I seen him come in, and I watched him leave, and then I thought, okay, I can go back into the beta graph room in the lab was right there next to it. I walk back in. He peeps around the corner. "Here, I got something for you." It was a Bible. He gave me a Bible. I said, "What do you want me to do with that?" "I want you to read it." I said, "Okay, I'll read it. But I'm going to drink a quart of beer while I read it." He says, "I don't care if you drink two quarts of beer. Just read it." So I had a habit. I was working second shift at the time. because we worked around the clock because we had that live organism. And so, second shift, I was on my way home, had that Bible there, stopped at the King quick, got me a couple quarts of beer, got my car, got home, came in the house, went back and looked at my family sleeping, and I had a habit, I'd come out and watch Johnny Carson. Well, I flipped the TV on, and it wasn't Johnny Carson, it was a new station with the 700 Club. And Ben Kinchlow was on there, and he was saying, you need to be born again. And it just stopped me in my tracks, because that's what Charlie was telling me. I thought, how does he know? Charlie knows he knows that I need to be born again. I thought, how does he know all this? And so he keeps talking. He says, you need to repent. The next thing I know, I repent. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I get down on my knees, and I'm crying like a baby. Crying like a baby. And I stand up, and things were different. I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. Can you believe that? 39 years old. I was 39 years ago. I was blowing me some cigs. Oh, jeepers. But anyway, I threw them things away. I took the beer. I threw it away. Guess what? I haven't touched it since. But oh. Well, I'm not being religious, because if you're here and you drink and you smoke, don't think that's going to keep you out of heaven. It's not. But I had a helper, because I tried and tried and tried to quit all that stuff. But he helped me. This makes sense? And then I went over and I read the Bible that night, and I looked at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 and 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. For it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I wrote all that down. I wrote it down. I said, this book is alive. So I said in my heart, I'm going to go to work tomorrow. And I'm going to tell these people to trust in the Lord so they can have what I have. Woke up, I went to work the next day. I go to the guy who was in purification. I said, Henry, I want you to trust in the Lord. I had to read it with all your heart. And lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He steps back and goes, man, what is going on with you today? It's like, I didn't even know how to talk to him. I said, I don't know. You got to trust him. And then I went around to everybody else. And I'm trying to get everybody saved. Then my personnel manager calls me up on the carpet. You got to slow this thing down. It's got to stop. 6 months later, he was saved. And the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. Something takes place, doesn't it? Am I making sense? He's your helper. He's your helper.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.